This is Under the Crawlspace, a true crime podcast where I will cover everything from Heaven's Gates to the Green River Killer. Disclaimer, this podcast does have mentionings of subjects such as rape, murder, sexual assault, and more, so viewer discretion is advised. With that said, let's get to today's case. Welcome to the second episode of Under the Crawlspace. This is part two of Jeffrey Dahmer, the Milwaukee Cannibal. So in the first part of Jeffrey Dahmer, I talked about his upbringing, his school life, his first murder, and obviously his first victim as the Milwaukee Cannibal. In this episode, I'm going to finish it up by talking about the last of his victims, how he was caught, some slip-ups, as well as how he served his time in jail and subsequently his death. So if you want to listen to any of the stuff like his upbringing and his school life, go check out the first part of episode 2. And with that said, let's get into part 2. So where I left off in part 1, I had just talked about the murder of Raymond Smith and how Dahmer had cleaned off and placed Smith's skull next to one of his other victims, Anthony Sears. And 1 week after the murder of Smith, Dahmer lured another man into his apartment. This time, though, Dahmer got Uno reverse carded, and he accidentally drank the spiked alcohol he meant to give the victim. So the next day he woke up, he was a watch, a bunch of clothing, and $300 short, and Dahmer reported this robbery to the police on May 29th. 1 month after Dahmer's slip-up, he returned to his regularly scheduled killing, luring 27-year-old Edward Smith to his apartment, and in Jeffrey Dahmer style, drugged and strangled Smith. But on this occasion, instead of immediately putting Smith's skull into hydrochloric acid in an attempt to preserve the skull, Dahmer put the skull of Smith in the bottom of his freezer and left it there for several months to dry out. After realizing that freezing the skull didn't dry the skull out, Dahmer placed Smith's skull in the oven, which yielded the opposite results. The heat from the oven caused the skull to explode. Dahmer later stated that he felt rotten for Smith's murder because he could not retain any of Smith's parts. So less than 3 months after the murder of Edward Smith and the subsequent failure to retain any body parts from him, Dahmer was back on the hunt. Dahmer encountered 22-year-old Ernest Miller on the corner of 27th Street and offered Miller 50 smackaroons to return with him back to his apartment so he could listen to Miller's heartbeat and stomach. Dahmer tried to round second by performing oral sex on Miller, but Miller stopped him and said, "Hey buddy, that'll cost you extra." In response, Dahmer gave Miller a drink with 2 sleeping pills. Now, normally he would put, 6 to 7 in, but in this case, he only had 2. With Miller still pretty conscious, Dahmer decided enough is enough and handed down the lethal blow, a slash to Miller's carotid. So here's a quick physiology lesson for you. That is the study of how the body operates. And so the carotid arteries, you have 2 of them on each side of your neck, right next to your throat, like where your esophagus and stuff is, and they carry oxygenated blood to the brain. And arteries, if they get nicked, if they get cut, anything, it's bad. You bleed out within minutes, if not seconds. And also, even if you were to stop the bleeding, now you're not getting oxygenated blood to the brain, so it's bad. So Miller died pretty quick. After waiting for Miller to bleed out, Dahmer took Miller's corpse and posed it in his bathtub to take Polaroids. After taking these Polaroids, Dahmer began to dismember Miller's body, severing his head and taking it and kissing it whilst dismembering the rest of Miller. He then wrapped Miller's heart, biceps, and flesh in plastic bags and stored them in his fridge for later consumption. So now we're going to get into one of the most brutal Dahmer murders and one of the biggest fuck-ups that Milwaukee police probably have ever made. And that is the escape and murder of Conorax and Thassenfong, which is, if you remember from part 1, is the younger brother of Kieran and Thassenfong, who was the reason why Jeffrey Dahmer was charged with sexual assault and given probation. And on May 26th, Dahmer encountered 14-year-old Conorax and Thassenfong with the offer of money in exchange for Thassenfong to pose for pictures. And after posing for 2 pictures, Thassenfong fell unconscious from the sleeping pills Dahmer had given him, and after Thassenfong fell unconscious, Dahmer drilled a hole into Thassenfong's skull, which he injected hydrochloric acid into. Dahmer laid next to the unconscious teenager drinking beers. He then got up and went to a bar where he didn't come home until early morning, When he arrived home, he found Synthasiphone standing in the street with four black women. When Dahmer tried to lay his way out of being outed, telling the women that Synthasiphone was just an overly intoxicated boyfriend, which they were not fucking buying, by the way, the black women called the police. The police showed up and let Dahmer take Synthasiphone back to his apartment, because, you know, it's the 80s, 90s, back then, gay equaled bad, and in Wisconsin, you know, it was fairly religious, so they didn't like that type of stuff. And the cops didn't want to deal with it. Returning back to Dahmer's bachelor pad, Synthasiphone met the same fate as the rest of Dahmer's victims. So this is where I say it's one of the biggest fuck-ups by the Milwaukee police, because it's like, so Dahmer had drilled a fucking hole into the front, into the forehead of Conorak Synthasiphone to inject hydrochloric acid. At one point do the cops not see that fucking hole, that drill hole that he has in his head, and be like, you know, maybe he's not just the boyfriend, you know, the gay lover of this guy. Maybe he is fucking going through something because he's walking down the street speaking Laotian, and he's all fucked up. On July 22nd, 1991, Dahmer encountered three men with an offer of $100 to accompany him to his morgue of a fucking apartment. One of the three men, Tracy Edwards, agreed to go with Dahmer to his apartment. When Edwards got to his apartment, he stated that there was a foul odor and several boxes of hydrochloric acid, the same acid used to give Conorak Synthasiphone a lobotomy, which Dahmer claimed he used to clean bricks. After a bit of small talk, Edwards responded to Dahmer's request to turn his head and look at his fish. Once Edwards turned his head, Dahmer placed handcuffs on Edwards' wrists. When Edwards asked what's happening, Dahmer tried, but failed, to get the handcuffs 100% on Edwards. He then told him to accompany him to the bedroom to pose for lewd pictures. When entering the bedroom, Edwards noted nude male posters on the wall and The Exorcist 3 playing on the TV. He also noted the infamous 57-gallon drum, which contained the liquefied remains of three of Dahmer's victims. Dahmer then brandished a knife and informed Edwards that he wanted to take nude pictures of him. In an attempt to appease Dahmer, Edwards unbuttoned his shirt, saying he would allow him to do whatever he wanted. In return, Dahmer had to take the handcuffs off. In reaction to this promise, Dahmer averted his attention to the TV, started rocking back and forth and chanting. Before turning his attention back to Edwards, Dahmer placed his head upon Edwards' chest and listened to his heartbeat, telling Edwards he was going to eat his heart in an attempt to keep Dahmer from attacking him. Edwards would tell Dahmer that he's his friend, that he wasn't going to leave him. Edwards had planned to jump from a window or run through the unlocked door when he got the prime chance to do so. Edwards then asked Dahmer if he could use the bathroom. He also asked if they could sit in the living room with a beer, which Dahmer agreed. Edwards went to the bathroom and sat back down. When he noticed Dahmer have a lapse in judgment, he got up, punched him in the face, and ran out of the apartment. Shortly after escaping Dahmer's apartment, Edwards flagged down two Milwaukee police officers at the corner of North 25th Street. The officers noted a single handcuff attached to Edwards' wrist. Once the officers started speaking to Edwards, he stated that a freak, which is funny, because, I mean, fucking Jeffrey Dahmer was indeed a freak, had handcuffed him. Edwards asked if the police could take them off, but when they tried, the key didn't work. It was for a completely different brand of handcuffs. So the police asked Edwards if he would accompany them back to the apartment where Edwards said he was held for the last 5 hours. When the officers and Edwards arrived at apartment 213, Dahmer invited them in and confessed to putting the handcuffs on Edwards. He offered no explanation. After this, Edwards told the police that Dahmer had also pulled a knife on him, and that it had happened in the bedroom. Dahmer made no comment to this, just telling the officer Rolf Mueller that the handcuff key was in his bedside table. When Mueller went to enter the bedroom, Dahmer tried to get in front of him to retrieve the handcuff key himself, but Officer Robert Roth, who was there also, told him to back the fuck up, basically. Upon entering the bedroom, Mueller noted a large knife, but what caught his eye more was inside the ajar bedside table were hundreds of Polaroids that consisted of bodies in different stages of dismemberment. He walked into the living room to show Roth, saying, "These are for real." When Dahmer realized that this would be the last time he was a free man, he tried to resist. The officers quickly overpowered Dahmer and cuffed him. After this, Mueller opened the fridge, and on the bottom shelf was the severed head of a black man. While Dahmer laid on the floor, he turned his head toward the officer and muttered the words, "For what I did, I should be dead." When the Criminal Investigation Bureau conducted a further search of apartment 213, they noted seven skulls, some painted, some bleached, and in the 57-gallon drum that sat in the corner of Dahmer's bedroom were the torsos of three of Dahmer's victims, liquefying in hydrochloric acid. The chief medical examiner stated later that it, quote, "It was more like dismantling someone's museum than an actual crime scene," unquote. now that Dahmer has been arrested for all of these crimes, on February 17th, 1992, after his trial, Jeffrey Dahmer was convicted of 15 counts of murder and sentenced to 15 consecutive life sentences to run consecutively. And on November 28th, 1994, Dahmer left his cell to go to his work detail with fellow inmates Jesse Anderson and Christopher Scarver. The three were left unsupervised in the showers of the prison gym for 20 minutes. And at 8:10 p.m., Dahmer was discovered on the floor of the shower suffering from fatal head and face wounds. He had been struck with a 21-inch metal bar. Christopher Scarver returned to his cell after the assault and told the guard, "God told me to do it." He was a schizophrenic. This would be the end of Jeffrey Dahmer, at the age of 34, serving 15 consecutive life sentences in prison. The Milwaukee Cannibal was dead. Thank you guys for listening. I know it took a while for me to get part two out. And to those people who do listen to the podcast, you know, it's finally here. I hope you enjoy it. I am thinking about getting off serial killers for a few episodes and maybe doing an episode on Heaven's Gates or the Manson family or just something different. Other than that, I mean, I hope you guys enjoyed this two-parter on Jeffrey Dahmer. He was pretty fucked up from the start, and he was fucked up in the end. So, with that, peace out.